inshallah, today we have Sheikh Jamal Zarbozo giving a speech about Iman and who is a believer, what is Iman and who is a believer. And inshallah, I request all the brothers to stay silent during the lecture, or like no comments during the lecture, so that we can benefit fully. And that in the question and answer period, please keep your questions and your comments short, inshallah, so that we can all benefit and everyone can get their questions asked. Jazakumullah khairan, inshallah. Now I'll turn it over to Sheikh Jamal.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد the lecture topic is what is Iman and who is a believer. Someone has to be sitting here. I mean, you can't just leave a brother all by himself in front of the masses, especially after what has happened in the past day or two. Anyway, this question of what is Iman, who is the believer, what is kufr or disbelief, and who is a disbeliever. And to be frank, these are some of the most important questions that anyone could ask. And in particular, they are some of the most important questions that a person should ask on behalf of his own welfare. And every one of us should be concerned with the idea of whether or not he is a believer. If someone hasn't even reached that point, that he doesn't even ask himself whether or not he's a believer and what is faith and what does it really mean to be a believer, and this is already a very bad sign. And if you haven't even bothered ever to ask yourself, you know, what does it really mean to be a believer? Am I a believer? And if you're not even concerned enough about your deen, yani, to ask yourself whether or not you are truly a believer, this is a very, very sad sign. And in the history of Islam, actually, as I said, because of the importance of this topic, this is one of the first topics that came up in the Muslim nation. And unfortunately, it was one of the first topics that led to division among the Muslims. And the reason, and we see it clearly in this case, and the reason it led to division is that some groups, and they came up with their own concept of Iman and Kufr, and the concepts that they developed were not exactly correct according to the Quran and Sunnah. And especially on this issue, yani, when you make mistakes on this issue about what is faith and what is unfaith, as some people call it, kufr, yani, disbelief, I don't know what's a good word in English for that. And the ramifications of being mistaken on this point for yourself as an individual and for the nation or for the community as a whole are very grave. And especially, yani, the extremes. One extreme was to give a very narrow definition for Iman, yani, to the point that if anyone commits a grave sin, and if anyone commits what is known as a kabira or a major sin, then he falls outside of the fold of Islam. He's no longer a Muslim. So this group starts declaring, you know, almost everybody non-Muslim. That extreme is very dangerous for the community as a whole because it causes division, a great deal of division. The other extreme is very dangerous for the community as a whole, but in particular for the individual, it is extremely dangerous. And that's the other extreme where virtually everybody becomes a mu'min. Everybody is a believer. And regardless of what you say or do, and to the point that some people, and again, yani we can show from Quran and Sunnah that yani what they're saying is not correct, but some people said, look, if someone says La ilaha illallah, and if someone gives the testimony of faith, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, then he is a believer, and he will enter paradise regardless of anything that he has done. Others even went further than that and said, if someone yani knows or recognizes yani the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is a believer. So yani this concept, and there's a lot of things in my notes that I'm going to have to skip now. Yani this concept of what is iman and what is a true believer and what are the characteristics of the true believer, and these are very important concepts, because we know that faith or iman is the separating line between being in the hellfire forever and being in Jannah. I will leave it at that. I will not go into further detail. Don't, no one come later and say, oh, you didn't go into further detail. I know that's part of the process of speaking. Sometimes you do that, maybe you explain it in more detail later. Notice how defensive I have become now all of a sudden. So some of the important questions related to iman is, what is true iman and who is a true believer, and what are the essential components of iman. And iman, let me start off by talking about what is the opposite of iman. Because some people, they instead of deriving any their conclusions from the Quran or Sunnah, sometimes they kind of get stuck on the linguistic meaning of a term. And I'm sorry to say this, but we saw an example of this last night in one of the comments last night. And sometimes people get stuck on a linguistic meaning of a term, and they forget to look to see how the Quran and Sunnah has used that term. Because the Quran and Sunnah sometimes defines terms or gives terms different shades related to their linguistic meaning, but different shades to them. So for example, al-iman, or faith, the translation, if you wanted to if you wanted to define it with another Arabic word, is al-tasdiq. What's the meaning of al-tasdiq? Anas. You're all named Anas, right? That's why I said Anas. Look over there. Yeah. Okay, it means yani assent or recognition, or you could also say belief. All of these terms you could say form part of a tasdiq. The opposite of tasdiq is a takdib, yani to deny something, to reject something, not to accept. Okay. So if you take the word iman and you say that linguistically it means tasdiq, yani that you assent to something, you accept something, we see here right away that yani the Quranic concept of what iman is about is not the same thing simply as believing in something in your heart and accepting it. This is not iman. Iman is not simply any believing in something in your heart and accepting it as true or recognizing it as true. And iman is not the opposite of a takdib. But iman is the opposite of kufr. And a tasdiq is the opposite of a takdib, but iman is the opposite of kufr. And kufr can take many forms. And if someone could recognize in his heart, for example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, and knows very well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, and knows that there's no one worthy of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that person refuses to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a kind of kufr. This is the kind of kufr that was demonstrated or shown by a shaitan. He was asked to prostrate to Adam, Aba wastakbar. He refused. Do you think a shaitan doesn't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists? Shaitan knows that. Even a shaitan asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him respite until the day of judgment. Even the shaitan knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb, is the only one worthy of worship, but the shaitan refused to submit. And because of this refusal to submit, this complete refusal to submit, this is one way of kufr. This is one way of showing that you have no iman whatsoever. So the first aspect that we see about iman is that when we talk about iman, we are not talking about it from a linguistic point of view. Iman linguistically has some meanings to it. One of them is a tasdiq and other related aspects. But when we talk about iman, what is faith? We're talking about faith or iman as described, as defined in the Quran or Sunnah. And if we study it, we'll see that there are three components to iman. The three components of iman, that for someone to have a correct and true iman, he must have all of these components. The first component is belief in the heart, or at-tasdiq, bil-qalb. Any belief in the heart. The second aspect is profession or statement, by the tongue. And the third aspect are the performance of the deeds, by the physical parts of the body. So iman, the belief, the acceptance is in the heart. And this is followed by the statement of faith, and it is joined with doing the acts, which are acts of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, we're going to go through many things very, very quickly. But let me just talk a little bit about what we mean when we say belief in the heart, or as some of the ulama have described it, is the statement of the heart. The statement of the heart. This is also what is known as sometimes known as Tawheed al-Ilm. This first part is the recognition in the heart that there is a creator, there is a Lord, and that Lord is the only one worthy of worship, and so forth. All of these aspects, inshallah, should be clear to everyone. However, belief in the heart also includes what the ulama call the actions of the heart. The actions or the deeds of the heart. And this is made up of many components, including commitment and voluntary submission and acceptance. Al-iltizam wal-inqiyad wa-tasleem. That, as we said in the case of a shaitan, the heart just doesn't recognize this to be true. There's many things that you could recognize to be true. Many smokers recognize that smoking is bad for their health. But that's not the key to it. That's not what iman is all about. It is more than just the recognition of the truth, it is the acceptance of the truth and the submission to the truth. The willingness and the desire to follow and implement that truth. And included also in this category, and includes the love for this truth, and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are all essential components of Iman as described by the earliest generation, from the time of the earliest generation of Muslims. Now you should realize that first, yani we said the belief in the heart has two components. And the first component, the recognition and the acceptance that there's only one Lord, only one Creator, there's only one worthy of worship. Yani this is something that comes natural to mankind. Yani mankind is born with a natural inclination to accept and understand this truth. And to recognize, I should say, to recognize this truth, to know that this is true. And only those, even historically, you know, only those who have, you know, the greatest disease in their heart will outwardly come out and make statements like, no, there's no such thing as God, there's no such thing as a greater power, or whatever you want to call it. And human beings, and instinctively, they know about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That proposition is something very clear to them and easy for them to accept. But at the same time, although that proposition is clear to them, the ramifications of it and what it means for them in their lives, this is what they're not willing to accept. And you have to realize that one of the key points between yani dividing a believer from a disbeliever, why they're Muslims and why they're non-Muslims, and those who are conveyed the truth and they reject it, is not the recognition of what is true, but it is the acceptance and the love for what that implies in one's life. And disbelievers don't like what this implies in their life, that they have to then submit, or they should then submit only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not free to submit to whatever they want. They are not free to live their life in any way that they want. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in different places in the Quran, He has shown us that the key point, yani, between, one of the key points between the believers and the disbelievers is not the understanding or the recognition of what is correct is correct. But as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ جَاءَهُمُ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ يعني that it has come to them with the truth, but most of them are adverse or dislike the truth. And most of them dislike the truth. It's not that they can't recognize what is true, but they don't like the idea that now you're going to come to them and say, for example, that you have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this means you can't go out every Friday, you know, drinking and dancing and so forth. I was in a hotel one time, I don't know why these things keep coming to my mind, it's very bad. I was in a hotel one time and a man and a woman passed by me, I guess boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband, wife, I don't know. And the man said to the woman, well, if you're not going to go out dancing with me tonight, then I'm going to have to go out drinking. And it, like, that's the two things. You have to do this or that. That's their life. But that's what they like. That's what they want. That's why they're following that way, because that's what they like. If you present them with Islam, most of them can recognize the truth of La ilaha illallah, and even the truth of Muhammad Rasulullah. But yani, they are not willing to submit to it, they don't want it in their lives, they don't have any love for it. And this is one of the key aspects of being a believer. It is the love for the truth, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say any belief in the heart includes this component of yani having love for the truth, having the desire, the want to submit to it. And if you claim to be a believer, this is something that you better have in your heart. You better look to yourself and see, yani, do I really have the love? Do I have the desire? I want to go out and submit to the truth and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the key signs, Yani, that you are a true believer. And this love in the heart, Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us, Yani, in the Quran, that this love in the heart for Iman is something, Yani, special that is given to the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in their hearts and distinguishes them from the disbelievers. We quoted the verse, Yani, in which says that most of the disbelievers and wrongdoers are adverse to the truth. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the believers, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانُ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرُ وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْعِسْيَانُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, but Allah has endeared or has made beloved to you the faith and has beautified it in your hearts. These are the true believers. And the most beautiful thing in their hearts, if you want to know what is the concept of beauty, Brother Basim, he didn't mention it last time, but he's given a similar talk, and he's talking about what is our concept of beauty. And the most beautiful thing for a believer, in his heart, the most beautiful thing is Iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has continued that, and He has made disbelief and wickedness and disobedience hateful to you. This is another sign of the believer. Yani that kufr is something hated by him. Yani disbelief is something hated by him. Disbelief is an affront to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an insult to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of mankind and blessed them with so many blessings, and then they refuse to submit to him, or they submit and give thanks to other things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something very much hated. If you love someone in this dunya, in this world, you love someone and you see other people harming that person. For example, if you love your wife and you see other people talking bad about your wife or cheating her or harming her, you feel it in your heart. And that your beloved is being hurt. What about when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being insulted or disregarded, when the deen, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being fought against, opposed and insulted? And how could someone claim to have real iman in his heart when he's willing to accept all that? When he sees no reason why he should dislike kufr. We hear that. We hear that from Muslims. Why should we dislike kufr and dislike disbelievers and so forth? Well, the reason should be because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put love of Iman in our heart and has put hatred for these things in our hearts. And that is if we have the correct and the true Iman. The second component that we mentioned is the profession and a statement by the tongue. And I will not go into that in detail, except quoting some of the scholars, they pointed out that it is inconceivable. It is inconceivable that someone has the true Iman in his heart and he loves that and he wants to submit to it, and he's not willing to openly state, this is what I believe in and this is what I accept and this is what I stand for. So part of the true Iman is this profession of the faith, the statement of the tongue, the statement of the Shahada, to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And finally, we have the third component, which is the acting upon that belief, yani the deeds that you perform. This is a component of Iman. Okay, we don't have time to discuss the different opinion historically about whether it is a component of Iman or not, but let us just stick with the majority opinion that can be proved from the Quran and Sunnah, and that is that the deeds that you perform, these are part of Iman. They are part of Iman itself. In fact, every good deed that you perform, or every good deed I should say, is considered part of Iman. The Prophet ﷺ described that removing a harmful item from the road is a branch of Iman. Every act of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a part of Iman. So, yani, when you have the belief, when you have the belief in your heart, yani, when we say belief in the heart, it is the true, the correct belief in the heart, the correct iman in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the belief in your heart that drives you to act based on that belief. It is not some kind of dry, theoretical, academic discussion, let's prove, you know, that Allah exists and Allah is Lord, you know, QED and all that stuff. And it's not, that's not what it's about. But yani, iman is something that affects you. It affects your heart. And affects your person. And it makes you move and makes you act based on that iman. Based on that feeling in the heart. And this is yani, the true and the correct iman. There might be some questions related to that later, so I'll leave them if someone... Let me just quote one of the early Zuhad, or of the early ascetics. Is that right? Ascetics. You have two American brothers sitting up here showing you that if you want to learn English, stay in your country. No need to come to here. Zuhad, we'll stick with Zuhad. His name was Sahal ibn Abdullah al-Tustari. He was one time asked, what is Iman? And he answered, and it is statement, and a qawl, it is action, amal, it is intention, and a niyyah, and a sunnah, or following the way of the sunnah. And he continued, he said, this is because if Iman is only a statement without action, then it is disbelief. If it is a statement, and accompanied with action, but without the proper intention, and you're not doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is hypocrisy, nifaq. If it is statement, and action, and intention, but not following the way of the sunnah, then it is bid'ah, heresy. So you have to have all of these components, inshallah, for your iman.